Good evening, everybody. I was in conversation with a friend of mine about life. We are both facing life challenges. And somewhere in the conversation, I said to my friend, I said, sometimes life does not offer us choices. Sometimes life just doesn't offer us choices. And perhaps you've experienced this yourself. Those who get diagnosed, for example, with a terminal illness, or when we lose a loved one, or when an accident changes the course of our life forever, life does not offer us choices. All we can do is face the reality and pray for strength and grace. The transfiguration of Jesus was a powerful, awe-filled, and life-transforming event for the disciples. But was the transfiguration one of those events where life did not offer a choice to the disciples? After having seen the glory, how could they say no? But to be part of that glory, they would have to embrace the cross. So was there a choice or not? What did the transfiguration mean for Peter and James and John? What does the transfiguration mean for us? So today in my first 2 points, I would like to do an exegesis. It's a deeper look into the text. I want to do an exegesis of Matthew's transfiguration narrative to draw out the deeper meaning of the transfiguration. My third point, I'll offer some practical implications for us. So first, I want to look at the timeline of the transfiguration. Now, it's very important that Matthew opens the composition or the transfiguration narrative with after 6 days. And why? Matthew was being intentional when he composed this narrative. There is an allusion here to God's revelation on Mount Sinai, where a cloud covered the mountain for 6 days, and on the 7th day from the cloud, God called out to Moses. But there is yet another timeline, the real life of Jesus. The transfiguration happened as Jesus and the disciples were making their way up to Jerusalem. The journey to Jerusalem meant that Jesus' life was heading towards a climax, the resurrection. But to get to the resurrection, he would have to go down the mountain, take up the cross, endure suffering and death. So this timeline that Matthew provides is significant both from the perspective of Jesus and from the disciples' perspective. From Jesus' perspective, just before his death, now he's about to die, he was being revealed, like God revealed himself to Moses on the top of the mountain. Jesus is being revealed as a continuation of God's saving work along with Moses and Elijah. The voice from the cloud said, just like on the mount, from the mountain, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." That's from Jesus' perspective. But from the disciples' perspective, the timeline means that they will have to continue the journey to Jerusalem with Jesus. Their timeline will have to merge with Jesus' timeline, because they had no idea what they were embracing when they said yes to Jesus. They must listen to him. And listening to him did not just mean merely building a tent and staying on the top of the mountain like Peter wanted. It meant the disciples must go down the mountain with Jesus and literally follow Jesus to Jerusalem as he embraced his suffering and death. So, here and now, in this time and moment, the disciples found themselves in the midst of a very life-transforming experience. Here and now, in this time and moment, life presented to the disciples a choice or not. So that's the timeline. Secondly, I want to talk about the nature of the Transfiguration. How do we understand this event? So now that we have understood the timeline of the Transfiguration, let us understand the nature of the event. In verse 17, in chapter 17, verse 9, which concludes the Transfiguration narrative, Matthew calls the Transfiguration a vision. Scripture scholars tell us that it really should be called an apocalyptic vision. It's a difference between just ordinary vision and an apocalyptic vision. Apocalyptic visions are connected to persecution, to suffering and death. An apocalyptic vision gives the suffering visionaries a glimpse into their future glory. And this is clear from today's first reading from Daniel. During a time of persecution, Daniel is granted an apocalyptic vision of what goes on in heaven and what will happen in the future. So when you look at the Transfiguration, the best thing is to understand it as an apocalyptic vision, because at the Transfiguration, the disciples, like Daniel in the first reading, are given a vision of who Jesus really is. This is my beloved Son. And what he will be in God's kingdom in the future. It was important the disciples have an insight into Jesus' identity and his future destiny, because soon Jesus would be persecuted. He would go down the mountain and embrace his fate. When this happens, the disciples must remember who Jesus is and the future glory that awaits him. They must remember Moses and Elijah and the voice that said, "This is my beloved Son." So understanding the Transfiguration as an apocalyptic vision balances Jesus' imminent persecution, suffering, and death with the glory that awaits him. So that's the nature of the event. So the final point, the implications of the Transfiguration for us. First, as an apocalyptic vision, the Transfiguration confirmed for Jesus and the disciples Jesus' identity and the future glory that awaited him. And knowing this identity and future glory, we see Jesus going down the mountain and embracing human life in its totality, suffering, questions, challenges, crisis, and all. Knowing who Jesus is, knowing the glory, he goes down the mountain and embraces human life, right? He does not run away from life. Rather, he embraces it in obedience to God's will and for human redemption. After the resurrection, the disciples did the same. So, for us too, life is a complicated and complex reality. Sometimes it offers us choices, sometimes it does not. But as we face life, like Jesus, we know who we are. We are God's beloved sons and daughters, as we face life, we must be aware of our identity. And we also know our future glory. We know what our destiny is. So knowing who we are and the glory that awaits us, we too must embrace life like Jesus did. Sufferings, questions, challenges, crises, and all. It's not easy. But we do not run away from life, but embrace it in all its complexity. Jesus teaches us that. Secondly, the second practical implication. We remember from the timeline that the transfiguration happened as Jesus and his disciples made their way to Jerusalem. The timeline revealed to the disciples that they would have to merge their timeline with God's timeline. Now, often I found myself in the same place as the disciples. Often life does put us at crossroads. In these times, the best place to find ourselves is on the top of the mountain with Jesus. So today I want to propose to you that it is the Eucharist where Jesus and our life comes together. This is the crossroad. This is where life and faith meet. Here is our mountain of transfiguration. Each Sunday is our transfiguration day. Here we bring life and face it with Jesus. Here our life mingles with God's life. Here our timeline merges with God's timeline. Here we enter into communion, God with us, we with God. And then, at the end of this Mass, we go down the mountain and face life for another week till next Sunday. We do that all over again, because here is where our life mingles with God's life. We do this while we are on earth, until one day our lives will become totally one with God, and then we shall share the glory that has been promised to us. So let me end this homily where I began. Life may or may not offer us choices, but God makes a choice to show us God's face while we are on this earth in Jesus. Life may or may not offer us choices, but we have the choice to let our life become one with God's life, and God's life one with ours. People of God said,